How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare at WrestlingObserver.com. We have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today. The slow weekends are over. Last night, UFC was in, of all places, Sweden. We're going to talk about that show, UFC on Fuel. None of you watched it. Most of you probably even can't, but we'll talk to you about that show, all of the matches, all of the upcoming matchups as well, including this coming Saturday night. It is Bones Jones versus Rashad Evans, and if you're one of those people that don't have Fuel and you didn't get a chance to see those awesome commercials for this pay-per-view last night, well, you're not alone. And hopefully they'll show up on the internet in the next couple of days. But we're going to tell you all about that fight. We'll look at the lineup for that show, the first big UFC pay-per-view in well over a month, almost 2 months since we've had a big UFC pay-per-view. So we'll talk about that, as well as this afternoon at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It is TNA's second biggest pay-per-view of the year, TNA Lockdown. Headlined by Bobby Roode and James Storm for the TNA World Heavyweight title, a match that has actually been in the making since Genesis, which actually took place back in October. So we're talking about a match that's 5-6 months here in the making, and it is on the second biggest show of the year for TNA historically, a show that might actually, believe it or not, it might break 15,000 buys. We're going to tell you all about that show, plus news from WWE as well. We'll talk more about the return of Brock Lesnar. His first Raw back was this past Monday, and the ratings, I would say the ratings were nothing to write home about, but in fact, the ratings were something you should write home about. Why were these ratings so low? Same with the Super SmackDown Legends show on Tuesday, and in fact, on Thursday night, the TNA show with a wedding. Weddings always do good ratings. Not this wedding. We're going to talk about all of that and more when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Michael P. Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, who has been stricken with sinus problems. And how you doing today, Mike?
As soon as the Claritin kicks in, I will be doing much, much better.
You know, my sinuses were bad, and I got some Claritin, too, and they felt a lot better. And then I went down to my local Safeway. I don't know if you've got Safeway out your way, but at Safeway, they have a generic... Actually, it was Allegra. They have a generic Allegra, and it was like $5. It was the greatest purchase I've ever made.
Ooh, see, I need to get that then, and then also find a cheaper alternative to Mucinex D, which works fantastically, but is also, I don't know, $75 for it or whatever it is. It's way
yeah.
too expensive, whatever it
Safeway's
is.
Safeway's got a generic of Mucinex, too.
I need a Safeway out here. I'm stuck with Harris Teeter. It's either Harris Teeter or Food Lion, and, well, I go with Harris Teeter because I'm snobbish like that.
I've never heard of either place, but that is beside the point of today's program here. Unless there's a brawl in a Harris Teeter during lockdown this afternoon, which I don't think is going to happen, seeing as how they're all confined to a steel cage.
You know, if they were brawling at the Harris Teeter by me, with the amount of people they get into it, it may be more people than actually purchase lockdown this evening.
I want to do some Todd's odds here before I even look at the card. What would you say are the odds that we have individuals getting in or out of the cages in these given matches?
Let's see. That it happens in at least one match?
Well, how many matches? Well, sure, we'll start with that. And then how many matches do you think we're going to have fools running in?
Well, let's see. The chance of it happening to me would be about 100% that it will happen in at least one of these seven matches on the card. And I will go with it three of the seven matches. I will not actually say it's going to be the majority. I'll only say three.
That's not too bad. Let's look at this deal here, this pay-per-view. Of course, it is coming up moments after the show goes off the air. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you don't get the pay-per-view, you can head up there and get all of the results And Dave and I are going to be doing a special show later on this evening, running down all of the matches as well. I will be doing live tweeting of this pay-per-view. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. That's at Brian Alvarez. I am now shooting for 10,000 followers, so join the fun. And as a special bonus, if you go up right now, you can witness the incredible amount of food that my buddy Vinny put down last night at Claim Jumper. It is astonishing. We both ate in the neighborhood of 4,000 calories in one meal, and you can follow along on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, so check that out. Probably more exciting than some of the matches on this pay-per-view, including Matt Morgan versus Crimson in a steel cage match, which sounds pretty horrible. Mike, what are your thoughts on that particular battle as we open up this pay-per-view preview?
Obviously, Morgan and Crimson together it has not, you know, given us Briscoe Funk type magic at any point. And I would have figured leading into this that the way Crimson obviously turning and you know being more arrogant than ever, that you know Morgan would finally be the guy that knocks him off and gives him his first loss. Now with Morgan over the weekend, kind of. I guess doing an interview with somebody where he, you know, said, well, my contract's going to run out. And, you know, God, those guys at WWE were always nice to me. And they knew how to put me in with bigger guys and teach me how to work and everything. If I'm TNA, I probably figure at some point, just because he said that, why would you have him beat Crimson? If he is there, if there is any possibility at all that he may be gone when his contract is over, I would punish him for the fact that he would even go out and say that. There's no need to hype up the competition or say anything about it at all if you really don't have to, so why do it? And, you know, to be honest, I would probably give Crimson the win here because I know this streak has got to end, and it doesn't mean anything. But with that said, I would at least have the streak end to somebody that's going to go on to do something. And frankly, if there's no plans with Morgan, and Morgan's been there long enough where people just have not gravitated to him, you might as well hold off on beating Crimson until you can do it with somebody else.
I should note that it is lockdown. That means every single one of these matches is inside a steel cage. And Morgan did do that interview this weekend. He also did note, however, that he is a man of loyalty. And TNA has been very good to him, and so he says he shall remain loyal to them until they're no longer good to him. So I don't know what that means, but perhaps he's thinking of re-signing. Well, here's the deal. I don't think that Matt Morgan is the right guy to end Crimson's win streak. At the same time, I don't think outside of Crimson and perhaps his immediate family, not one single solitary human being on the face of this planet cares about Crimson's win streak, so it doesn't matter if Matt Morgan beats him. That's my feeling. I think Crimson, I don't even know. I don't know why we're spending so much time discussing this match. I don't think it matters. If I had to flip a coin, I'd flip a coin and say that Crimson wins, but who knows? That's your, yes?
No, it was a two for Crimson there. We should move
on.
Two
for Crimson, yes, let's move on. Robbie E and D-Von for the TNA Television Championship. You didn't watch all of Impact this week. I don't know how much Impact you've been watching of late, but I'm trying to remember if D-Von has even been on a show as champion since he beat Robbie E for the title.
Wow, you know, I don't think he has, actually.
Now that I think about it, that's a poor title run right there.
You know, it's something about having a TV title that just, you know, lends itself to not being taken very seriously, especially not this one.
I'm on D-Von's Wikipedia, and when I look here at his TNA career, the last thing written about it is on March 18th at Victory Road, D-Von answered Robbie E's open challenge and defeated him to win the TNA Television Championship, marking D-Von's first major singles championship. How about that? But anyway, the point is there is nothing more about D-Von's career, so it does not appear that he has done anything on TV since winning the title, and now he is going to defend it here on this pay-per-view. Wow.
And, who knows what I'm not exactly sure what they would be doing with Robbie E, and, you know, the title is pretty worthless as it is anyway. Does either guy need it? No. But Robbie E's had his run with it. D-Von and Bubba Ford or something like that. I don't know what you could do. I guess entertainment-wise, the title should be back on Robbie E, but I'll say Devon actually wins and retains.
The more I think about this, the more baffled I am. Why has Devon not been on TV in a and maybe he has, but I mean in a way that anybody would remember since winning the TV title?
Maybe you missed an episode where they brought back you only have to defend the title once every 30 days.
About that. I don't know what's going on here, so I'm not going to make a prediction. But if I had to make one, I'd say Robbie E wins the title back. Then we've got Gail Kim and Velvet Sky for the women's title. I don't know. I will admit openly that Velvet Sky looked acceptable on the last Impact show that I watched. It was, if I recall correctly, a multi-person match. This is a singles match. I would expect this to not be very good, no matter how hard Gail Kim tries. And I would bet that Velvet Sky wins the TNA Knockout Championship.
They've kind of been going that direction. I could pretty much see that happening. Although, yeah, would I rather see Gail Kim hold on to it? Yes. Does it really matter, though? No. And it will make everybody happy and be a good story, although... You know, I'm not looking forward to any Velvet Sky matches with the belt, but then again, I wasn't looking forward to that many with Gail Kim either, outside of maybe one or two people, so I'm with you. I think Velvet Sky wins.
Remember when they built up and built up and built up a title win for Velvet Sky, and then she won the title, and then, like, she immediately lost it? Remember that?
Yes.
I don't get this stuff.
Does it really matter? I mean, you'd think about it. It would make sense with how Gail has treated Madison Rain, and obviously Madison is not, you know...
They're friends now, Mike. Perhaps you missed it.
But that's the whole thing where, you know, I can see Gail... You know, what would make more sense is, obviously, if you're looking for just pure in-ring, I guess, Gail wins and then goes on and loses it to Madison. That would at least be a better match.
Gail wins, but they already had their feud, so that can't happen.
It's TNA. Come on.
This match here, I actually, believe it or not, want to talk more about this match, and actually the larger picture of TNA in general that kind of stems from this particular matchup and the matchup we just talked about. That's coming up after the break, everybody. What a cliffhanger. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and of course all Sports Byline USA Radio affiliates. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, every Sunday afternoon/evening. And we are talking about the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view, which, in fact, airs immediately after this show goes off the air. How nice of them to schedule that around our show. 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. You can check that out on pay-per-view or head up to the front page of our website, WrestlingObserver.com. And Dave Meltzer will be doing live running play-by-play of the event, TNA's second biggest pay-per-view event of the year. And then later on this evening, Dave and I up at WrestlingObserver.com. A very special audio show, our latest radio show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be running down all of the results of the show, talk about all of the news, backstage notes. Going to be a fun time, everyone. So check that out later. Like to note here that the Gail Kim Velvet Sky match, you mentioned Gail Kim and Madison Rain, and that match has already taken place. And what happened was Gail and Madison were friends, but I guess it was just time for them to have a battle. And so they broke up, kind of. They had problems, and that led to them having a match together when Madison snuck her way into a battle royal and won. And then they had a match on pay-per-view, and Gail won, and then they became friends again.
Well, and Gail gave her the crown, I remember.
Yeah, so, but the point of this is, it's a very limited women's division, you see. That's why they have to come up with creative ways to get friends to have matches with each other, because it's their turn to fight for the title on pay-per-view. And it just further accentuates one of the problems lately with TNA, why it all feels the same always, because there's never anybody new coming in anymore. Like, the last big star that came in was Jeff Hardy. I think that was 2010, if I recall correctly. But what new stars do we have in TNA these days? I mean, you look at all of the matches on this card, really. You know, Matt Morgan and Crimson, been there forever. D-Von and Robbie E, been there forever. Gale and Velvet, been there forever. Motor City Machine Guns, Magnus and Joe, been there forever. And granted, Magnus and Joe are a new team, but Magnus and Joe, been there forever. Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle, been there forever. Team Eric versus Team Garrett. The only new star is Garrett Bischoff. Other than that, we've got AJ, Austin Aries, Mr. Anderson, and RVD, all been there forever. I guess Austin Aries is somewhat new, but it's not like he's never been in TNA before or anything. And Bischoff, Gunner, Bully Ray, Chris Daniels, and Kazarian.
Gunner,
been there before.
I guess, could fall under the newer guys, or fresher guys at least.
Gunner, I guess, sure, Gunner. And then Bobby Roode and James Storm. I mean, they're both now main eventers, but been there forever. And I just, you know, I think it's like, there's no new stars. There's zero homegrown stars, really. I mean, the closest you have are Roode and Storm, but, I mean, do they mean a thing? Absolutely not. The only guy that is even remotely meant a thing is Jeff Hardy. But there's no new stars that mean anything. And everybody else up and down the card, everybody just gets shuffled around. You know, Magnus, you know, Joe was, he was floundering forever, so now he's a team with Magnus. And Bobby Roode and James Storm were a tag team forever. Now they're singles guys. And, you know, D-Von and Bully were tag team guys forever. Now they're single stars. Everybody just gets shuffled around. And you try new things with some of these guys, but it's just still the same guys we've seen a million times. At least in WWE these days, it's like you've got guys that are new to a degree. You know, and Alberto Del Rio or guys like that. Or now you've got the Funkasaurus, and Brock Lesnar hasn't been there in 6 years, and, you know, this and that. They're at least trying to bring new blood in or such, but not here in TNA, all just the same old guys.
But I think that's also compounded by the fact, like talking about with Gale and Velvet, where they were friends, then they were enemies, and they needed a reason, so they did this, and they came up with, you know, and, well, no, maybe we need them back together again. That makes it worse. You can have 10 guys on your roster, and if you have good stories for them and you keep consistency and you have stuff that doesn't make people want to turn off the TV or not buy your pay-per-views, then you'll be fine. I mean, it doesn't matter that they don't even have, you know, fresher and newer people. It's just that the people they have, they smash them up together with no rhyme or reason, and then they don't stick with it. They pull back from it. I mean, you got Hulk Hogan leading into this show tonight on his Twitter, where he's just like, you know what? I think this is the year we're going to turn the corner. That's been, how many times is that, and not even Hulk Hogan, has just that been said by TNA for, well, ever since James Storm was main eventing with America's Most Wanted against Elix Skipper and Christopher Daniels? How long ago has that been where they're just going to turn the corner? We just need to... No, everything is mishmashed together and slammed together. And again, their consistency has not been there. Will that change? Has the show been better? Yeah, it has been. But it doesn't matter about the fact they don't even have anybody fresh when the people that they have, they don't know what to do with anyway.
Now, on the bright side, Magnus and Samoa Joe versus Motor City Machine Guns for the tag titles. That should be an awesome match. And I don't know. It's too early.
One of those scary scenarios. All they need to do is to have a really good match. It's the Guns' first match back. I don't think they should actually go ahead and get the win over Magnus and Joe, even though I can completely see that happening, because, again, it would be another quick feel-good thing. But the problem with this is you start thinking in TNA-type things, and I know Russo's not there anymore or whatever, but you start thinking to yourself, Jesus, what would they have done, and what have they done before? Will Magnus and Joe turn on each other? Will the Guns turn on each other? You know, will there be a non-finish, and they'll just have a match on him? I mean, all of that stupid nonsense that plays in the back of your mind, where you should just be thinking, Magnus and Joe should go over, and they should have a rematch on the next show, because this match is going to be really good. There should be no nonsense to it, no interference, no nothing. But I think it's too early for the Guns to win. But you know what? Even if the Guns win the title, fine. Just let them do their match and have no concern for me when I watch Impact the next week that maybe Joe and Magnus are going to turn on each other now for God knows what reason.
That's quite a rant. I do expect just a good match. I don't even want to. You're right about everything, but I just want to watch a good match here, not worry about it. It is odd that I think it's too early for Magnus and Joe to lose the titles, but seems odd for Machine Guns to team back up, get a shot, and then lose. So I don't know what you do here. Plus, I think they're both babyface teams.
Well, that's the one thing, though, with Magnus and Joe, though. To just do something small or something slight where they don't have to work as outright heels or anything like that, because that would be ludicrous, too. But if they just do enough subtle things where it can build to the next match, then you do have your way of Magnus doing something slimy or just doing something enough where even if it's not outright, he puts his foot on the ropes or holds the tights, but it's just something slight that gets them the win over the Guns, you have that great story leading into the next pay-per-view.
Also on the show, we've got Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle. That's right.
Kurt Angle's going to be there? I cannot believe that. Being someone who follows amateur wrestling a little bit, I thought since he was not going to be able to compete in the Olympic trials, there would just be no way he'd be able to wrestle this weekend.
Yeah, we have not noted that in fact, Kurt Angle tragically was forced to pull out of his Olympic trials due to a hamstring injury and a number of other, I guess, injuries. But yes, he's not going to the Olympics, everybody, and he's very heartbroken about it. And Mike, what do you think about this situation? What's he going to do now with his life?
I don't know how he's going to be able to pull it together and find new work. You know, working injured like he must be doing going into this match ought to be something. But the only thing I want to know about this whole thing is whether they actually had a documentary team. I cannot wait 6 months from now to see, like, Kurt Angle's Olympic journey or something like that out on DVD. Because I can't fathom why else he had done any of this. There are people that obviously, for all the wrong reasons, complain about the fact in the amateur community that he became a professional wrestler, which is ludicrous to me because, you know, the trophy that the amateurs, you know, the NCAA kids go after every year is called the Danny Hodge Award. So it's just a completely ridiculous thing, but he's also compounded those bad feelings with this whole thing because there are a lot of comments on Twitter and Facebook and elsewhere where just there are people who follow the amateur wrestling community solely that just think he's a bigger bum now for leading people along with this and just, you know, taking it as being a glory whore.
I'm actually surprised anyone took it seriously, really.
No, and that's the whole thing, and they're angry over the fact that, you know, any light that was going to be shown upon amateur wrestling, that some good he could do, was wasted on him, because obviously the story did get picked up in the New York Times and places like that, even if they reported it inaccurately, and there's not very many guys who could do that, and Kurt Angle's name is one of them, and that's what I think they're most upset about.
We've got, Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle in the cage, and Kurt, his hamstring injury, which is going to take months of rehab, still able to tape it up and work tonight. And hopefully neither guy kills themselves. I don't like this match for one reason. I think they could have an awesome match. I've seen them have awesome matches, but they've pretty much flat out said on TV, someone's going to do something death-defying. I hate that. I don't want to see one of these guys go off the top of the cage again. Everybody, you know, Kurt Angle, his knee, I mean, his knee and some of his other injuries, he's had injuries that have been bothering him ever since he did a moonsault off the cage in that match with Chris Benoit. So why would you do something where you're almost guaranteed to suffer an injury that is going to affect you perhaps for the rest of your life? Why would you do that? Especially for a show that, like we noted earlier, probably 15,000 people are going to buy. It's not worth it, everybody. Don't do that. But they're going to do something tonight, probably something stupid, and hopefully everybody turns out all right. We'll be back in just a moment to preview the final two matches. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Michael Sempervivi. also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And, of course, for all the latest news and information, head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, radio shows, and I mean a lot of radio shows. We do radio shows virtually every single day. If you love this show and you only get to hear it one time per week, you are missing out. Not only do we do radio shows every single day, including a brand new one here tonight after the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view with myself and Dave Meltzer, but... thousands and thousands of hours of audio in our archives right now. Dating back to 2005, every show we've ever done is available in the archives for you to download. These are not your average low-quality podcasts. They sound just as good, if not better, than the audio quality you're listening to right now. In fact, I record this show in my home studio. So if you want good quality audio talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every day, delivered straight to your iPod, iPhone, iPad, any of your listening devices, you can get all of that at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 per month. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, daily shows. We talk all of the news, pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing sometimes when there's a big fight, history of wrestling, history of mixed martial arts. We have a lot of great contributors, a lot of great audio shows, including the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare with our buddy here, Mike Sempervivi. And as noted, later on tonight, myself and Dave Meltzer talking TNA Lockdown will be up after Raw tomorrow night as well. And we just did a show last night talking a number of different subjects, Ultimate Fighter and Impact, Bellator, the Brazil show, Alistair Overeem, the UFC show in Sweden, which we'll talk about later. There's tons of stuff up. You can go listen to it right now up at WrestlingObserver.com. So check all of that out. As noted, Dave's also doing live running play-by-play of the Lockdown show up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, starting at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. So you can follow along at WrestlingObserver.com if you are or are not getting the Lockdown pay-per-view. And I will be live tweeting at Brian Alvarez is the place to go on Twitter. Follow me there and get my thoughts on the show and some wacky photographs of a night of debauchery at Claim Jumper last night. You ever eaten at a Claim Jumper, Mike?
I have not.
Oh my God, you'd be dead now if you did. But it was good eating for one night. We're talking Lockdown, and we got two matches left to recap, or precap, I guess they call it. Team Eric versus Team Garrett. It's Eric Bischoff, Gunner, Bully Ray, Chris Daniels, and Kazarian against Garrett Bischoff, AJ Styles, Austin Aries, Mr. Anderson, and RVD. And the stipulations are that the losing Bischoff has to leave TNA, and if Eric loses, he must not only leave TNA, but he may no longer be called Eric Bischoff. What?
Sure. I don't even know. I this is one of those matches where I think there's going to be some sort of, even though it's in a cage, some sort of chicanery going on. Maybe it's Austin Aries and this whole thing with him getting beat up by Bubba Ray has all been a ruse or something like that. And Garrett loses. Garrett should be the one that should lose and go away. Go away to OVW. Go away to anywhere and actually, you know, develop and try to learn how to work. But who the hell knows? I don't know. I guess there could be some wacky comedy if Eric Bischoff loses his name and he's got to be on every episode and he and Ric Flair can do some sort of wackiness together in a skit or something like that. But I just think this is going to be the one where, you know, it makes no sense for Garrett Bischoff to win this. And, again, I just think something ridiculous is going to happen where Team Eric Bischoff gets the win with Captain Eric.
Wait a second. Oh, you said, wait a second. Did you say there's no reason for Garrett to not win?
No, well, I mean, there would be no reason for Garrett to win.
I see. I agree. I mean, and first off, what does this exactly mean, renouncing the name? Can Eric call himself Derek Bischoff? Is that okay if he loses his match, or does he have to get rid of the Bischoff part? Does he have to get rid of the first and last name? What does this mean, renounce his name? Does he have to call himself Bob Smith? Is there a name he is required to use? Could he call himself Derek Dishoff? I mean, what's happening here? I don't understand the stipulations. But with all that said, I don't know. I guess they can do something wacky if Eric loses. But I think what makes sense is Team Garrett loses. Garrett has to leave. Then he's an outsider. He keeps running in and causing trouble like Stone Cold Steve Austin. And finally, they do a match to give him the opportunity to come back. I figure that's where they're going here. I mean, Eric...
Wow, think about what you just said. Come back like a Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mike, you do realize they're trying to book him like Steve Austin and The Rock in the 90s. That's the idea here.
I know, but it's just... I
know it's preposterous, but that's what they're doing!
Who is taking this seriously?
Well, Eric.
Well, that's true.
Eric actually has a lot of TV projects, so it would make sense for him to leave, but... His company is called Bischoff Hervey, and I don't even know why I'm even pretending to think that they would uphold any of these stipulations anyway. But it's such a wacky stipulation. Renounce your name. What? I don't even get it. Is it because Eric keeps talking about how the Bischoff name is going to live on forever? Is that what he's talking about? Is that what this is all about? Anyway.
Well, the epic battle worked so well when Stevie Ray and Ahmed Johnson were challenging Booker T for Harlem Heat and the T at the end of his last name.
That's right. They fought over the letter T. I remember that. That Sesame Street battle. So anyway, that's the semi-main, everybody. It's Lethal Lockdown, which of course means it's, War Games. And... I actually already forgot who won the coin, or the... I think there was a match on Impact where if such and such won and his team got the advantage or whatever, I presume it's the heels, but this is TNA. We've seen the babyfaces get the advantage a few times because they don't know what they're doing, or they thought it would be clever. Anyway, we'll see what happens in this match. It should be all right, but I just don't have high hopes for this. You know, AJ Styles is great, so is Austin Aries. And so is Daniels, actually. And Bully Ray is, a lot of good workers in here. Maybe I'm underestimating this. But I just picture in my mind a lot of dudes doing some moves. And then some weapons. And then Eric wins. Probably pinning his own son. And then he celebrates. And we're like, wow, yay, Eric won. And by the way, he didn't watch Impact, but the setup for this match was so stupid. It was so stupid. Team Garrett had not announced their final man. And Eric Bischoff is in the... Hulk Hogan is in the ring. And so Eric Bischoff thought, after Hulk Hogan announced it was now going to be 5-on-5, he thought that Hogan was going to be the fifth man. And Eric Bischoff thought, I'm so tough... I can beat Hulk Hogan, so put me in the match. Now, keep in mind, Team Garrett also includes AJ, Austin Aries, Mr. Anderson, and Garrett. But Bischoff still begged to be in the match because he thought he could take Hulk Hogan, which, even in storyline, really, Eric Bischoff thought he could take Hulk Hogan? I realize Hulk Hogan's all banged up, but that's preposterous. So he begged to be put in. And then Hogan announced that the final man was, in fact, Rob Van Dam, and this made Eric all angry. What a stupid storyline. So yeah, now Eric is in this match. He put himself in.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that you said the final part of the show was so good, I immediately after the show was over, I just go erase it off my DVR and not even watch it yet, but... I don't know, maybe Eric just knows more about that bad hip from Hogan. But yeah, that's just one of those quality control things where it's like, you know, again, drawing the straight line of logic, it doesn't make sense at all.
I actually really enjoyed Impact, except for a couple of little things here and there. They had the ODB wedding to Eric Young. It was fine. I was not blown away by it. I was not offended by it. I went in fixing to hate it. But it ended up being all right. And the main event segment with Rude and Storm. which of course set up the headline match of this pay-per-view, Bobby Roode versus James Storm for the title. That was one awesome interview segment, Mike, and you need to check it out.
I can actually imagine that, although I'm still, and maybe it's just me, and maybe there's other people out there that feel differently. How this whole thing to me has been bungled over the last, basically, wherever it's been, 5 months or so, to me at least, how I thought they have bungled this whole thing with Roode and Storm and how they've been presented, and Hulk Hogan, you know, getting involved, and, you know, Roode's not the guy, Storm is really the guy, and then they have Storm in the match with Angle. It just, there's been so much. I was so happy when they got the opportunity, and I hope this match, and hopefully that interview that you're going to talk about, is the way to kind of rebuild this up, because they had two guys that were basically untouched as far as fan apathy. The fans always liked them. You know, they've never been screwed over or messed up like everybody else on the roster seemingly has. And I just thought they have bungled this, where this match actually should be, you know, it should be for a lot more than just possibly 15,000 pay-per-view buys, because they had the perfect thing to build to, and they have not done a very good job getting to it. And I think the match tonight will be good in spite of any of the nonsense that has taken place, because Roode and Storm working together is going to be, I think, really good, and they will go balls to the wall for it back in Nashville and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it's going to, I think, be really good, but hopefully they continue to build these guys up, and not in a more, you know, a ridiculous way like they have been in the past couple of months, because I think a lot of that took out a lot of steam for me of looking forward to seeing this.
It'll be interesting to see what they do here, in the sense that now's the time. Well, actually, it's kind of weird. I don't think it's time, really, to be honest with you, for Roode to lose the title. I think he's still building some momentum as a heel champion. But based on the show, the build, etc., now is also the time for James Storm to win the title. But, of course, it was time for Bobby Roode to win the title back at Bound for Glory. And they decided at the last second, literally at the last minute, they decided that, let's have Angle win. Surprise everybody. And then we'll put the title on Storm instead, and they did the whole curveball deal. So, you know, one would think that Roode wins the title here tonight, but I wouldn't bet on anything, to be honest with you. Wouldn't bet on anything.
Either would I. And I think, you know, to me, it does make more sense for Roode to go on and actually, again, continue to build Storm up a little bit better, too, and just, you know, keep this. It should have started in the first place as two generational rivals, you know, rivaling over the title, and Roode getting the shot, and then Storm being, you know, kind of jealous. I thought they were, you know, Storm turning heel would be the way it would make the most sense. But, you know, how they should have based the thing was off of competitiveness, just over the fact of the title and who is actually going to be number one. They didn't have to put in any more nonsense to this, and that's what this feud should actually be about, is just two guys, you know, that think their time is now going after the belt. It's what wrestling has always been built on. It's what makes the most sense for, it's how you build all sports and all promotions and things like that. So I hope this continues on, Roode actually winning, and then they continue on with, you know, Storm still trying to get his crack at him. Because it could have legs for a long time.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment talking more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, I don't know if it's been officially announced, but possibility of ODB teaming with her new husband, Eric Young, to defend the Knockouts tag titles against Rosita and Sarita. And you saw the wedding on Thursday night. The only thing on the show you saw, actually, was the wedding. And what did you think?
I think Rosita is still very, very attractive and probably will end up in WWE one day. But you know what? Obviously, for what it was, and in the cornball world of TNA, it actually was much better than I thought it would be. It was goofy and everything, and I know that weddings, you know, obviously historically have always drawn well and all that stuff, but I mean, you know, come on. The only thing I don't understand now is she old Dirty Bastard young, or is she young Dirty Bastard? I mean, how is it working with the names here? Because she said she wasn't going to take Eric's, but, you know, young Dirty Bastard, you know, that could be a good name, unless they're going to continue this storyline on for a long time, and that's what they can name the kid.
ODBY?
ODBY.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to do. Or Eric B.
I would figure, again, who knows, it's TNA, so they could have some sort of wackiness happen. But, you know, the fact that they have to work, you know, when they should be on their honeymoon, I just cannot imagine unless Anarchia and La Familia roll in again to jump Young and ODB. I would figure Young and ODB get a nice wedding present going over Sarita and Rosita.
Mike, I got married in July of 2010. I still have not had a honeymoon yet. It's not coming until next year. These people can wait.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're working hard here. I mean, you know. These guys are superstars. They should have big money. They should be able to go on some sort of vacation. Plus, they're national.
Maybe they got tag titles to defend. Tag titles to defend. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline. Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi. The Admin Mike, Big Audio Nightmare, up at WrestlingObserver.com. We spent the first hour previewing the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view, which, in fact, takes place moments after we go off the air, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, on pay-per-view. Dave Meltzer, live running play-by-play of the event, up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can head up there and check that out. I'll be doing live tweeting as well, at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. That's at Brian Alvarez, so head up there and check that out for my musings on TNA's All Cage pay-per-view. We got a lot of news to talk about here in this hour. And Mike, you watched the wedding. Want to briefly hit on this on Thursday night's TNA Impact show, ODB and Eric Young. And were you shocked when the rating came out and they did a 1.0, which, not really any better or worse than they've been doing of late in a genre where weddings almost always draw.
No, but honestly, you know, why would you think it was going to do anything extra? I mean, only the show gets around that number constantly anyway. The only way anyone really knew about it is if you follow TNA and watch the show anyway, so... Nah, it doesn't actually surprise me in the least that they couldn't drag anybody over to it.
Hasn't been a wedding in a while, and this was a wedding. I was impressed that, I will say, they had some interference with Rosita and Sarita trying to ruin the entire thing. I'm not even quite sure why, quite frankly, they were trying to ruin the entire thing, but they were. And in the end, it didn't work for them. And in the end, the two lovebirds got married. They had a shared a kiss. The fans cheered, and presumably they all went home happy. So not every day you see a wedding in pro wrestling with a happy ending.
There's not too many times in life anymore you see a wedding with a happy ending.
That's true.
Or at least the results of the wedding.
That's true. All right, everybody, back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday afternoon / evening, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, during the break, I said, hey, did you see UFC on Fuel? And in fact, you have not. You are one of those folks without fuel.
Tis true, and it's, you know, and I got to be honest, I'm in the camp of looking at things from more of a broadcasting and cable point of view, where, you know, the fact that UFC run shows on Fuel doesn't bother me. You know, the fact that nobody gets to see these shows, it's just one of those things. I mean, obviously, when you look at things from Fox's point of view and Fox Sports's point of view, with what they want to do with the network and how they want to expand it, you know, that's just the way it goes. But for most people out there, and I'm sure you're one of them, Brian Stan being on there was a waste. For me, Gustafson, who's a guy I like to watch, being on there is a waste. And it's just one thing that they're going to need to do with these shows, have one guy that you could say is B-level, or at least a B-level name, and have them on there. But the rest of the card should be, I'm not saying Ultimate Fighter, you know, type of, you know, fights on there, but, you know, some of the fights that were on there, the CR fight, you know, in particular, too, because, you know, he was debuting against Paulo Thiago, and that fight had the opportunity, you know, to have fireworks, and it ended up having fireworks. But that's one of those things where I would not have debuted him on Fuel. I would have waited for an FX show or something like that, where these shows are going to have to be one name that you could have on there, and then a bunch of other guys that are just, you know, to have the names that they did on there, it doesn't make any sense, because just for the simple fact, people do not get a chance to see these shows. They just don't, and that's not for anyone's fault other than Fuel is not carried widely by a whole lot of packages. Will it be in the next couple of years? Yes, it will. But with that said, right now there's not, and to put any more names on these cards than you need is a mistake.
Well, maybe it will. I mean, we have no guarantee that Fuel will be well-viewed in a few years.
Oh, it will. Honestly, it will, because of the push that Fox wants to do. And it's not that network. It's more of a carriage thing. The Big 12 network, which they have, or I'm sorry, the Big 10 network, which they have a huge stake in, Fox Soccer Channel, Fox Sports, all of these things, the Speed Network, they're going to strong-arm cable companies in the same way that ESPN does with ESPNU, ESPN News, when they roll out and debut new channels, where they are sticking all of these things together and will force the issue of getting it on. It will get the clearances to be on. With that said, the possibility of turning it into the Fox Sports Network will, you know, create problems there once it does get full carriage, because once it does, there's no reason for them not to make it into Fox Sports, which then will cause a problem for the amount of UFC programming that's on there.
Tell us more about this this idea.
What, as far as the Fox Sports idea?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of the idea of this becoming this Fox Sports channel and everything, but I don't know. I mean,
well, they just had a thing come out, and I can't remember if it was in multi-channel news or not, but the fact that they there was an article hyping up the fact that Fox Network on Saturday nights, they are all into sports on Saturday nights. Saturday night's always a dead night for TV. You get, like, reruns of Law and Order on NBC. That's one of the reasons Saturday night's main event would be put on for NBC, and the fact that the XFL had their deal where they were, because TV on Saturday nights is not great unless you're sports. And Fox is all into that, as far as there's going to be a live event of magnitude on every Saturday night, you know, beginning in summer, or actually even before that, I believe, and leading all throughout the football season, and they're going to just keep it going as strong as they possibly can. So they're obviously, sports franchises mean a lot to network TV, because it's one of those things that you have to watch live. So they're all into that as it is. With the NBC Sports Network and Versus and them having the NHL and all those types of things, obviously Fox, that's the one thing they've never been able to do, to go head up against ESPN and have a true Fox. They've had the Fox Soccer Channel, they've had these other things, but they've never had a ESPN-type Fox Sports Network. Once they get clearance on Fuel, if they can get it into, you know, at least 90, if not 100%, of networks around the country, which sooner or later they will with how cable and all this stuff is expanding out, I just think that they're going to pull the trigger on there. And then, you know, obviously having all the network contracts that they do with colleges, with golf, with all these other things that they have, or maybe not golf, but with auto racing, a lot of the other things that they have, it's going to make, you know, the most sense. Obviously, you saw what NBC did with Versus. That's pretty much what Fox, I would figure, is going to go ahead and do with Fuel.
Reason I bring it up is because Versus is now NBC Sports, and I remember prior to this happening, there was a lot of talk about, you know, Versus is not really a you know, not it's not a highly viewed network. A lot of people don't necessarily even get it. But man, when it becomes NBC Sports, this is all turning around. And suffice to say, it is now NBC Sports, and it is not all turned around. And some of the ratings for, I mean, we're talking like fuel level ratings for NBC Sports. And so I just don't know about this idea. I still don't know about this idea that, you know, they if they become Fox Sports or whatever and they rebrand the network and this and that, I just don't know about this channel exploding in the next several years. And again, here's the other thing. Even if it does explode in the next several years, let's say in 2018, all of a sudden fuel is available in 90 million homes. That is still years before any of these UFC on fuel events mean anything. I'm like personally completely, I'm completely torn with what to do about UFC on fuel, because there's part of me that thinks, why would you put anyone of any value whatsoever on this network? Why is Brian Stan, who has a chance to be a real mainstream sports star, why is Brian Stan fighting on fuel? Nobody's going to watch it. He could have the best performance in the history of MMA. Nobody's going to see it. It is a complete waste of time. There's the argument that, well, you know, you put a few stars fighting on fuel, and you get all these people to call their cable companies and demand fuel. Okay, I've been hearing about that for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months, and I don't think that's made all that big a difference, quite frankly. We're still in a situation where nobody has this, and it's kind of like, are people really honest to God in big numbers going to call their cable companies and ask for fuel if you put a superstar? If you said, like, George St. Pierre is going to be fighting his next fight on fuel, are you really honest to God going to get a million UFC fans to call and beg for fuel in their, you know, beg their local cable company for fuel? Is it going to make any difference? I don't know. Maybe it would, but I don't know. So I'm torn as to what you do. Do you put big stars on there and hope that people actually do call and you can increase your carriage numbers through that? Or do you just say, just screw it for now until 90 million people can watch this and then put some stars in there? I don't really know what to do. All I know is that right now and for the foreseeable future, nobody's watching any of these shows.
Well, you know, you said the thing about Versus earlier. You know, it's also a matter of the sports licenses that the, you know, the NBC has. I mean, what do they have on there? They have Notre Dame football. They have, you know, it's very limited. The NHL and, like, ECHA hockey, I mean, that's all they have. Fox has got tons at its disposal and really always will. So that's the advantage that they would have over, you know, their debut will be a lot different than basically what Versus morphing into NBC Sports is. But when it comes to these fuel shows, I agree with you. Now, if people are calling, will that ultimately make the difference? Of course not, because it's a big business decision. It's going to happen, but it doesn't hurt that people would call for it. But with that said, I agree with you. It's like what I said at the beginning. Having one guy of net value on these shows as it stands right now, that makes sense. To load them up with anything else or the possibilities of fights that might create fireworks or be better to be seen on FX or on a pay-per-view undercard or something like that, that's something they definitely need to do.
All right, everybody.
To overload these shows with anything other than one guy is, to me, a mistake.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk a little bit about UFC on fuel, then talk about Brock Lesnar. Here we are, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 40 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Same internet where you can get live running play-by-play of tonight's Lockdown pay-per-view, which is airing immediately after the show goes off the air on pay-per-view. Dave Meltzer, live running play-by-play. I'll be doing live tweeting at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. Follow me there in my quest to get 10,000 followers, and then I'm going to shoot for 50. I'm just going to keep going, Mike. I don't know why. I don't know what this brings me, except for the satisfaction of knowing that 10,000 people follow me. But in the grand scheme of the world right now, it quite frankly doesn't mean much, I'd say. I could be wrong.
Unless you're WWE, where it means a lot.
Sure, yeah. I mean, their ratings and their buy rates and all of their performance indicators are way up since Twitter. Actually, that's a lie. They're all way down, which is quite ironic. Not that there's anything wrong with Twitter, but game changer? Not yet. At least not for WWE, and not for me. Maybe someday if I go, tweeters? Is that what they call them? My followers, tweeters? Everybody send $1 to P.O. Box 426, Woodinville, Washington, 98072. Cash, please. And maybe I'll wake up and have $10,000 in there. But you know what? I'll bet that doesn't happen. But I'm going to try one of these days.
But now you're thinking. And that's the one thing when it comes to Twitter and Facebook and everything else. They are extensions of advertising. They are tools for that. They are quick conversations, dropping thoughts, things like that. To trend worldwide in one of these things, what does it matter? Doesn't it all? Unless unless all of your other business indicators are down, and then at least during the shareholders meeting, you can say, well, at least we're number one in something.
All righty. Let's talk very briefly here about UFC on Fuel. Nobody saw it, as noted. We'll get the ratings in the next couple of days. This isn't even a show that, like, aired in the evening in prime time. This show aired at noon here on the West Coast. No buys. But it was a decent show. Alexander Gustafsson and Thiago Silva was the main event. Gustafsson beat him. He nearly finished him in the first round, but largely just he danced around. He showed good footwork. He moved in. He moved out. He landed a shot here or there, and then he won the decision. I was not blown away by this fight. I know a lot of people thought it was very good. But I just thought it was an acceptable fight for a main event on Fuel. Thiago Silva, of course, failed a drug test for providing non-human urine. Apparently, you can't do that. He was rewarded here with the main event on Fuel, which I guess, all things considered, good punishment. We had... yes.
Sorry, I just see the fact that non-human urine...
Yeah. I guess it was never specified what it exactly was. I know that Lance Storm said it was monkey urine. I don't think it was. It may have just been water. It could have been orange juice. I don't know what he provided. But I know that he did not provide urine from a human.
Absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, I know he was a replacement for Rogério Nogueira, but... I guess forget about that for a minute. At least the positives of this is, you know, the 205 division, Gustafsson, do I think he can beat any of those top guys? No, I do like him a lot, and he's had, obviously the one loss to Phil Davis, which, you know, was more of a, I remember people being surprised at the time, but, you know, Phil Davis is just, he looked fantastic in that fight, and he was, he's looked great. In most of his fights, obviously leading up to the last one there. But Gustafsson, I do like a lot. And again, I don't think he's ever going to be the super top guy. But as far as him being a Kenny Florian, where he'll probably lose his title shots, and sooner or later he's going to deserve one, with the run he's been on. But he's also going to be a guy that at least is really, for the most part, an exciting fighter, and has always got the possibility of knocking you out, if not choking you out. And his, him being a top contender is never going to hurt my feelings.
Brian Stann destroyed Alessio Sakara. 2 minutes, 26 seconds. Punches from the guard. Sucks to be Sakara. Brian Stann looked awesome. Had a great promo, except for when they asked him who he wanted to fight and he had no name, which was a story up and down this show from everybody. But Brian Stann's awesome. Why he fought on the show again? I have no idea. Paulo Thiago versus C.R. Bahadurzada. How do you like that?
You were terrible with those K1 Max names back in the day, too, huh?
Yeah. Bahadurzada knocked him out in 42 seconds with a lariat, essentially. That's what it was.
That I want to see. Like a Stan Hansen style lariat?
Well, no, he's just kind of coming in and he tried to throw an uppercut, but he kind of lariated the guy in the jaw with his wrist. Knocked him out.
I've seen highlights of him against different guys. And, you know, it's just I ended up, I think, foolishly picking Thiago just for the simple fact that, you know, guys debuting in the UFC, it's like, I don't know. I always tend to bet against those guys making their debuts, and I was very, very wrong.
What else we have here? We've got Diego Nunez and Dennis Seaver. Good stand-up battle. All stand-up battle. Seaver got the win via decision, 29-28. There you go.
I would have definitely bet against him winning a decision against Nunez. I like Seaver a lot, you know, coming off the loss against Cerrone, but he's just another one of those guys. You know, if everybody fought like him, it wouldn't be special or anything like that, but, you know, so powerful and compact and still being a, you know, a quicker style of kickboxer, you know, so used to the kickboxers who have had most of the success in the UFC, you know, as far as being noted, at least being pure kickboxers, you know, the Hunts and the Krokops and guys like that, most for the most part, been bigger guys. So, you know, him being unique in his position, and again, he's another one of those guys who probably is going to be a great gatekeeper too. In fact, at least a little bit better than a gatekeeper, where he can be in the mix and maybe not always beat the top guys or anything like that, but always be an exciting fire to have against top contenders on a card.
We had John McGuire and DeMarcus Johnson. Great grappling. DeMarcus Johnson decided he was going to try a Kimura and overcommitted from the bottom and done got armbarred by John McGuire. It was awesome. As was Demasio Page and Brad Pickett. They had a great, great, great fight. And Pickett ended up choking him out. This was awesome. It's too bad none of you get fuel because that fight was great. And then we also on the show had Poppy Abetti losing to James Head in a battle of men who have not won in UFC. So there you go. That was the show.
Right. You know what? Honestly, in this, there's been a lot. The FX and Fox, I still think it's a great deal, but how these guys have advertised each other and how UFC has not really changed their tact in trying to get the word out to new fans and being able to showcase some of these commercials like for the upcoming pay-per-view and to hype up shows like this. They should be running their mouths everywhere that they had a fight like Pickett and Page on, and you can see it online at UFC.tv, or you can see it on their on-demand service, which you have to pay for, or do something like that where they get the word out about this stuff, so at least people are going to seek them out in other forms, you know, because FX or Fox or Fuel's not going to do it for them. They need to do it, too, where they can at least get some eyeballs on some of this stuff and market it at least a little bit differently.
He
did miss a great fight like that. Put it on, you know, advertise you're going to put it on a pay-per-view undercard or something like that. I don't know. Just do something. I think they really need to change how they're thinking about advertising these guys and how this whole thing has gone down with them.
Let's talk a little bit about Brock. He is back. Interestingly enough, first off, let's talk about Raw and his big return. The announcement he's facing John Cena at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view coming up in Chicago at the end of this month. What are your thoughts on what they did with him on Monday night?
You know, seems quick. I'm not, you know, I would rather have waited for at least another pay-per-view before you did it. And I mean, Brock is just, his timing and his face and how he's saying, he's obviously coming across like a superstar, and he is just right back in the groove incredibly well. In fact, far better than the first time around as far as his comfort and talking in the whole nine yards. I thought, you know, that was actually really good. With that said, I don't know. See, it's like the old Charlie Murphy joke about, you know, getting slapped. I mean, you know, who slaps a dude? He just laid you out and made you look like a punk. A night after The Rock made you look like a punk when all the fans are calling you a punk. I mean, you know, to go in there and slap him, I mean, I like the pull-apart idea and everything like that. And the fact that Cena got busted open, but really you go in there and you smack Brock Lesnar. Not only do you smack Brock Lesnar, you smack Brock as he's standing next to Johnny Ace and David Otunga. I thought that didn't work for me at all.
The match coming up is very interesting. I think, to me, Brock Lesnar's just got to beat him. But we've got John Cena having just lost to The Rock, as you noted, and got kind of beat up and made to look a fool of, like Brock Lesnar. And I don't know. I'm just like, are they really going to beat John Cena again? And then what do you do with John Cena after that? I don't really know. It's kind of, it's going to be an interesting finish to me. Do you do a DQ and then do another match? Do fans really want a DQ in this first match? What do you do with Brock Lesnar here in this battle? And what do you do with him over the next couple of months?
I mean, I hate to say, they're not going to do this. We talked about it last week where they can't keep Cena off TV. But he goes out there and he just mashes John Cena. And you know, that's how you start it off. And then you don't have Brock wrestle, you know, on another pay-per-view again. You have him skip the next one or something like that where he's, you know, again, taking out relatively top guys, whether they're good guys or bad guys. And I guess that's going to be out the window if he's linked up with Johnny, you know, being on Team Big Johnny or whatever it is. But, you know, if they can just, if they can bring themselves to get Cena off TV and make Orton the centerpiece of the company or do something like that and just downplay Cena, I mean, you can get a lot more out of it. Brock doing anything other than slaughtering Cena, it's just going to be tough to fathom.
The show, we actually should look at Extreme Rules here in just a moment, but let's go to a break. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 20 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, including daily radio shows. We got one coming up tonight after the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. Myself and Dave Meltzer will be running down all of the matches on the show, top to bottom, talking some backstage news and notes, where they are heading. Plus, we'll talk about all the news from the weekend and preview tomorrow night's Raw, which, of course, is leading into the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Almost said Lockdown. Extreme Rules. Coming up at the end of the month, we might have a cage match, in fact, on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, because all the matches are Extreme Rules. Talk about that pay-per-view in just a moment. But check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. We've got daily news updates, as noted, and more radio shows than you could shake a stick at, including, as noted, tonight's show, tomorrow's show after Raw, last night's show after the Fuel event, plus every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. You'll never have a shortage of audio. If you like to listen to shows in the car, if you like to listen to shows while you jog or go to the gym or during your commute, tens of thousands of hours of audio are available right now in our archives for subscribers. $10.99 a month, that's it. $10.99 not only gets you all of the new shows, but all of the shows in the archive. Every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available for you at WrestlingObserver.com, including several hundred editions of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. If you can't get enough Mike Sempervivi, boy, oh boy, have we got the site for you. WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, what's up on the Big Audio Nightmare?
Well, coming up this week, obviously we have a lot to catch back up to with a big show taking place. Coming up in May that they've announced New Japan, All Japan, working together in glorious harmony. The possibility of seeing maybe an IWGP versus Triple Crown confrontation, the possibilities of that are out there. But being a website based around professional wrestling, mixed martial arts, and a little bit of boxing, we are naturally going to be talking probably a lot about the Stanley Cup playoffs, which are taking place right now.
Oh, my God, Stanley Cup. You know, I have taken a photograph with the actual Stanley Cup.
I know, that it bothers me immensely. Yeah, for UFC up in Toronto, you went up there, didn't you?
Yeah. I was right there with the actual cup.
Well, you know what? That was good, though. At least you got, that's your second, or is that your first, you know, your the most closest you've ever had with hockey was that moment, I assume?
I've been to hockey games.
Okay.
I've been to hockey games. I always think it's funny, because like, sometimes people are like, hey, you want to go to the hockey game? They're awesome. People fight. And I'm like, well, let's just watch fighting. If the best part of the hockey game are the fights, then why aren't you a fight fan? You know what I mean? It's like they're
not
really...
I like both sports, so I can never imagine, like, people who like contact sports, that's why I'm surprised you don't. I know it's a lot more of you like individual sports, but, you know, it seems like there's a line of, you know, football and hockey and boxing and wrestling and things like that. I mean, the physical sports, I just think... it's hard to not like all of them.
Now, the thing is, I've always, since I was a little kid, I've always liked wrestling and grappling. And there's a lot of that in UFC. And I as a kid, I did Taekwondo and I've done karate and still do karate today. And I enjoy striking and all that. But I do like a mix of striking and grappling, which is mixed martial arts. And I don't go and watch a lot of pure jiu-jitsu or amateur wrestling. And I don't watch a lot of boxing or kickboxing. But I do like when all of it is put together, which is pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. That's why the Dennis Seaver fight, you know, a lot of people thought that fight was great. And I was just like, nah, if I really wanted to see kickboxing, I'd go out of my way to watch a lot of K-1 back in the day. And I didn't. You know, I watched the big K-1 fights and that sort of thing. But I don't know. I just, it's not about the contact to me, you know? I don't just want to go out there and watch dudes on a football field running into each other. Or the hockey fights, when they go to the ground, I'd like to see an arm bar maybe pulled off. Doesn't happen. The skates kind of make that a little difficult. But I just like pro wrestling and I like mixed martial arts. But not a big fan of just the straight stuff, just straight contact or straight kickboxing or straight. I guess I like straight grappling and that sort of thing, but I like a mix in my sport. So yeah, I guess that's the best way to explain it.
Did I tell you my son broke his first board in Taekwondo?
Really?
Yes.
But that was pretty exciting.
That was cool. Yeah, he's of course the greatest thing in the world right now. Yes. And unfortunately, though, where we're running into a little bit of a problem is forgetting about the rule where, you know, no, you only do this in the dojo and not on your mother.
I see. You don't try to break your mother's cheekbone?
Well, he likes to try to explain it to people because he's so excited about it. So he likes to relive it. So he just, you know, will use her as the dummy of, you know, putting her hands together and, you know, kind of just cross there in a prayer position. And then, you know, he's demonstrating, he's talking about it, and he throws his hand down and he slams it into her fingers, and you know, her being a nice mom and making sure he's happy, you know, always does it. But strong for a 4-year-old slamming into mommy like that.
How did he break the board? A chop?
It was a mighty downward fist.
Really? Wow, a hammer fist board break.
Yes,
that's pretty impressive.
He's been very happy with his hammer fists and his axe kicks.
Ah, wow. He's the next Alicia Fox.
That's, you know what? He is kind of pretty. I don't know, maybe even prettier than her. So it's possible, I guess. You know what? If he can make his way to professional wrestling and take that Alicia Fox approach where you don't really have to be good at anything, you just stand there and dance around and make whole lots of money for it, why not?
Does he get, I remember my nephew, Carlos, also was a little pretty young fella. He had long, curly hair. And every time I would go anywhere with them, he was a chick magnet. But all the girls, they'd come up and they'd go, "Oh, she's so pretty." And it's like, his name is Carlos. He's a young fella. Do you get that with your youngster because of his long, curly, blonde hair?
It's the long, curly, blonde hair, the blue eyes.
And the fact
eyes,
that he wears dresses.
Even worse for him. You know, he is named Avery. So, you know, so they hear the, didn't they hear his name? Oh, Avery. Oh, you're so, what a cute girl. And that absolutely, of course, drives him absolutely insane.
Oh, he's just going to go nuts someday, Mike.
That's, well, you know, well, obviously, putting him in Taekwondo so early, I'm giving him the tools.
That's true. Now, I guess we should probably get back to talking about this business here. Brock Lesnar not mistaken for a woman. He is facing John Cena at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Right now, it's just a match. But one would think, since the pay-per-view is called Extreme Rules, that they would add some sort of stipulation to this. What do you think the stip will be? Have to wear MMA gloves?
Well, you know, it's hard for me not to think that it's not going to be something MMA-themed. Whether it's, I don't know. Obviously, they're not going to go old school and go Lion's Den style or anything like that. And you can't do it in Stu Hart's house anymore. But I'm sure it's going to be something along those lines. And again, it's I just can't see, and I'm not trying to murder Cena or anything like this, but he obviously needs, you know, to me at least, a little bit of a break, and you need to retool, and you need to figure out some things with him, and you've got the perfect opportunity now to do so. So anything other than Brock just mashing him into the ground, I don't think is going to work or be believable, or and by that nature, it's not going to help Lesnar as it goes along, too.
Do you know that R.D. Evans in Ring of Honor, who...
The barrister?
Yes, in Chikara, known as Archibald Peck. Do you know that he debuted a new gimmick at the Chikara show last night?
I did not. I saw him at the ROH tapings, and he looked very good in his turtleneck and jacket.
He is now Mixed Martial Archie.
Mixed Martial Archie.
Yes. I have photographic evidence of this as well.
I can see, and, you know, for a lot of people, I would say, you know, what kind of craptastic hustle gimmick is this? But after seeing Archibald Peck and seeing the barrister, I can see me actually having no problem with this whatsoever.
Yeah, he had the MMA shorts and the mouthpiece and the gloves.
Well, he is a natural-looking MMA fighter.
Sure, yeah. He looks like Alexander Gustafsson if he went on an extreme diet. So, yeah, I can't wait to see.
Well, you know what? For trios, I wonder if MMA could team up with MVP and somebody else with initials. Or maybe we can have some sort of Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock could come in for the next King of Trios and team up with MMA.
That's right. You put Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock and Mixed Martial Archie as Team MMA. I think it'd be awesome.
I think this can work.
Now, speaking of MMA, a man who trains in mixed martial arts when he's back home in Las Vegas, Daniel Bryan, is facing Sheamus in an Extreme Rules match. 2 out of 3 falls for the World Heavyweight title. That's the match. 2 out of 3 falls. So, match guaranteed to go longer than 18 seconds.
It is, but I'm going to throw something out there. I know it's very old school. I can actually, for some reason, my gut is saying they split the first two, and then the last fall, there's some sort of, I don't know how you do double DQ or a draw. I mean, they used to go with a draw back in the day, but I could see the next one ending flat and them going on with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. Because it's the best thing for Sheamus right now to continue to work with Daniel Bryan. And I think they can take advantage of the crowds and everything else, the whole nine yards. And my gut is just saying that they're going to continue on with this, and this isn't going to be the end, even after 2 out of 3 falls.
What did you think of my idea of having had Brock Lesnar come out and destroy the Three Stooges on Raw?
If the lawsuits from these guys not being the Three Stooges and actually being actors wasn't going to be a possibility, I think it would have been fine. But that's, you know, like last week was 2 weeks ago was bad enough where they just debuted a ton of guys and they did a bunch of stuff. And even though Brock was there, it just overshadowed everything else. This was an example this week of you have Brock coming back. It was bad enough to stick him there with Johnny Ace, but it does at least establish that Brock Lesnar is going to be a douche. And you can have him, you know, obviously they're not going to bring a Paul E back. So to have Johnny around being the jerk for him, I could see that, you know, making a little bit of sense. But to debut having the Three Stooges out, I just think bad planning and stupid, but that's how they do those sorts of things. And I guess if that's the only time they could get them for promotion and they were locked into it, I guess you had to go ahead and do it.
Which I just think,
away from the fact that the Hulk Hogan impression was absolutely fantastic.
I think that they shouldn't have brought Brock out until the Stooges segment. Don't bring him out at the beginning of the show with John Laurinaitis. John Laurinaitis comes out, and you could just announce that the match is they're trying to put together John Cena versus Brock Lesnar for the pay-per-view. They're in the midst of negotiations or whatever. And you have the Stooges come out, and instead of Kane, you have Brock Lesnar come out, and you have Larry and Mo run for their lives, and then Will Sasso ends up taking the F5. I'm not sure if he could take that bump, but I know he took the choke slam, and I know he's taken some other bumps. He's a big wrestling fan, but Brock Lesnar absolutely destroys the Stooges, and, you know, then he cuts his promo, And I the idea of Brock Lesnar and the Stooges on the surface sounds really stupid. But when you actually think about it, Brock destroying Will Sasso with an F5, A, would have been awesome. And B, the whole idea behind Brock Lesnar is he's supposed to be real. And the Three Stooges are profoundly fake. And everybody hated him anyway. So you may as well have Brock come out and destroy him. I think it would have been awesome. But we can talk more about that after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking Brock Lesnar destroying the Three Stooges. What do you think of my idea, Mike? I think it's genius.
I don't know. I can see. Why would Brock Lesnar have any interaction with the Three Stooges? Although,
because he's real.
You could send the footage out there, on Entertainment Tonight or one of those shows or whichever one Menounos is on where, UFC champion comes back into WWE and, beats up celebrity while he's there. I'm sure he could have got some mileage out of it that way. And, yeah, I guess I could see that. But then you talk about the reality of it. And my reality would be, why would Brock Lesnar even have any interaction with the dopey actors?
Because he's real. Because he's real and he thinks this sucks. And he's coming out to destroy them. He's going to come out and destroy everything fake. I probably shouldn't use that term, but everything's stupid. Remember when Brock Lesnar in that conference call when Dave asked Randy Couture a question about his next opponent? I can't even remember the circumstances, but Brock is on the line and he just mumbles, "Well, that was a stupid question." Brock's gimmick should be that he hates stupid stuff, and he's just going to come out and destroy it. And he's going to destroy the Stooges, and then he's going to cut a promo about John Cena's stupid jorts and his stupid hats and his stupid shirts, and he's going to destroy him. And then, I just think personally that John Cena and Brock Lesnar shouldn't have fought at Extreme Rules. They should have fought at the next pay-per-view, and you do a slower build to it. You don't have to wait till SummerSlam, but for God's sake, you did you could have done one angle on Raw Monday night, the brawl, and then you could have done the low blow this coming Monday, and you could have done something else the next week, and I just think you could have slowed it down, but that's beside the point. Mike, I want to thank you for doing the show today, as always. And I want to thank everybody for listening. We got to go. It's already time to wrap this show up. But fear not, Dave Meltzer and I are going to be up later on this evening. Brand new audio show only at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be running down TNA Lockdown, talking all the matches. Follow it on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. It's starting in just a moment. Follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, in my search for 10,000 followers. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. All the folks at Sports Byline USA, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.